If you were to write a letter to your younger self, what would you write? What would that letter contain? If you were to write a letter to your younger self from your position today, back in time, to a moment in time, a moment that you can choose, a moment that you remember where you think, I really wish I had known what I know now, and be able to apply that to your life back then. So what would your letter contain? Suppose you could flip it on its head a wee bit and say, well, if you were to write a letter to your kids, if you were doing what Wally had done, and as we're going to hear later on, if you were to do that, what would that letter contain? Would you try and protect them? Be careful. Here's the things to avoid. Or let me reassure you, it's going to be okay. Watch out for that, Ian. See, a few of you are thinking that. Please make sure that you do this. Please make sure that you don't do that. And it's a wee bit of a challenge, because as we look at God's word and as we look at what the Bible says, when we start to read the letters that Paul wrote to the churches that he knew and the churches that he'd heard of, he was writing a letter to help them, to protect them, to show them the way that they should be living, to point out the things to watch out for, to watch out for the people that they should be watching out for. But also, here's the things you need to invest. Here's the things you need to put in. Here's the way that you need to live. Here's the things that you need to avoid. And as Paul writes this letter that we're going to look at today, the book of Colossians is what we're going to be looking at for the next wee while. He's writing it from prison. This is a church that he's never met before. He's just heard about them. He's heard about their faith. He's heard about their transformation. And here he is sitting in prison, and his heart is to pour out to these people to say, here, listen, this is how you should live. This is what you need to watch for. This is what you need to do. And sometimes it's easy to forget the circumstances that Paul writes from as he brings out that pen and paper, as he would try to get this message to the people that needed to hear it. Here he is in prison, but he's thinking about other folk. He's thinking about their faith, and ultimately we're going to look at this book in the next wee while, and we're going to see the life lessons and the faith lessons that we can learn from it. But the brilliant thing about this wee church as he starts is he recognises and encourages them and he blesses them and he's thankful for them and he prays for them. When was the last time you actually got a letter? I'm not talking about the ones that come in the brown envelopes and all the bills and all that rubbish, right? But when was the last time somebody sat and penned you a letter? I'm guessing that the words would have meant something to you. And we're going to read Colossians chapter 1. If you've got a Bible with you today, or if you've got a smartphone or you've got your tablet with you and you want to get these verses up, we're going to read Colossians chapter 1 together. We're going to see this church's first-hand faith experience. These are a group of new Christians that he's writing to. Bear in mind, he hasn't met them, but he's heard about them. And something special was happening in this wee church. And I believe God's doing something special in this wee church today. And I believe that the words that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae are as important today as they were then. So listen up. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and understood it. You understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you too may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul's writing, imagine getting that letter, right? Imagine you were sitting in that wee church and you opened it up and it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus. And you thought, right, we've heard about this guy and we need to listen up. We need to hear what he's going to say. And then he starts to pour out how thankful he was for your faith, how thankful he was for the hope that you had, how thankful he was for the love that he has heard about through Epaphras. Word had travelled fast about this wee church and about how well they were doing. But actually, he was reminding them of the source of why they were living the way that they were living. You see, these people had found real faith in Jesus, real hope in Jesus, and real love in Jesus. And this was totally world-changing for them. And it can be totally world-changing for us here today. In the passage we read, the fact that what happened in Colossae wasn't just a wee local thing. We read in the verses that it says that all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it was in Colossae. I believe today, folks, more than ever, God is moving in our world in a way that we've not seen for so long. And I think it's because we've woke up to the fact that we need to share our faith, however and wherever we can, and share the real love and the real faith and the real hope that we have found, because it's life-changing, it's transformational. And I think when people see it in real life and in real time, they realize that it can be something they can experience. It's not just something made up or some idea. This is Jesus changing lives today. This is Jesus forgiving lives today.